Good morning.
Amen.
Good to see each of you here this morning. Open your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Peter in chapter 1. Last week we made great strides. We got all the way through one verse. We'll begin reading in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the opportunity to open the word, your word. Help us to read it and understand it. More importantly, help us to apply it and believe it. Lord, that you might be glorified. Lord, you said that you cannot lie. And so we're reading a book that's filled with promises. Help us to rejoice in that. Bless this meeting today. Bless all those in the sound of my voice. If anybody's not saved, may they be born again truly by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you recall last week, we saw that Peter, by the revelation of God, has given us this epistle, and we see that this does not come from any ordinary fisherman, that there is something about this man that has touched his life, and he's got some deep insights into the things of God. And we saw that that was a revelation from the Father that was given to him. It wasn't revealed by flesh and blood, but by the Father which is in heaven. And he talked about being born again, and we see that we saw that doctrine is the doctrine that Jesus Christ taught, the other apostles taught, Paul himself taught, and Peter teaches as well. And we would reiterate and we would repeat that refrain, ye must be born again. We also saw that many great preachers, one of my favorite all-time preachers in history, at least in the English-speaking church, George Whitefield, constantly preached on ye must be born again, because in his day there were religious people, religious priests and bishops that proclaimed the idea of Christianity, would call themselves Christians, but they had never been born again. And I would advise you that it's not enough just to come to church, to a Christian church, or to be water baptized, or to participate in what some people would call sacraments or communion or anything like that. Ye must be born again. And Peter said that the Lord Jesus Christ, which according unto his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our Lord rose from the dead. He lives. And that's a song we sing. He lives. And he's begotten us unto a lively hope. Look over in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for a refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have and is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us, he entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We have a lively hope because we've been born again. Amen. And thank God for that. So we have an assurance. Notice what he says in verse 4, and this is going to be my text for this morning, verses 4 and 5. To an inheritance incorruptible. So we were born again unto or to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Did you know that God has a place in heaven reserved for you if you've been born again? Have you ever gone to a restaurant and everything's been reserved? You wait in line, wait in line, wait in line. Sorry, all the things are reserved. Well, if you're not reserved, that's a sad story. But if you do have a reservation, that's a great story, man. You say, hey, I have a reservation. Right here, Mr. Riggs, Mrs. Riggs, come right here, come right in. Yeah, we have a reservation for you. The Lord has a reservation for us. Our names are written down in heaven, and there's a place for us. Look over in Galatians chapter 3, because I want to talk about this inheritance. And let me briefly say, generally speaking, this is something that we have to read throughout the New Testament, but you should understand that the saving our souls comes about by a triune God. The Father was instrumental in our salvation. He foreknew. The Spirit of God was instrumental in our salvation. We saw this earlier in our study in verse 2. The Spirit of God sanctifies. And the Jesus Christ obviously was in our part of our salvation, because he spilt his blood and it was sprinkled for our salvation. So there is a triune God working in our salvation. And our salvation itself is triune. We have a body, soul, and spirit. I've said that backwards. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. We ourselves are triune. And our salvation is triune. God saves our spirit, he saves our soul, and he saves our body. And we're going to see some of these things in what Peter reveals us to here today. But I want you to notice, it talks about an inheritance that as if we are waiting for it. It's reserved for us. But we also know that we are already saved.
Amen.
We are already saved, and we are already adopted. We are the sons of God now, and we do have a hope of that reservation or that inheritance that is waiting for us. And so we have to understand the scriptures, and you'd have to see the whole pictures. And I would encourage you to especially read all the epistles of Paul, all the epistles in the New Testament, to see that salvation has three parts to it. We call it justification, sanctification, glorification. We call it the salvation of our spirit, the regeneration of our spirit, the salvation of our soul, the salvation and the glorification of our body, because one day we're going to be freed from this old body. And I want to show you that some of these things this morning. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 17, first about the inheritance. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. God promised Abraham an inheritance, and that inheritance doesn't come by the law. It comes by the promise. And the same thing with us, our promise of the inheritance for us comes by the promise of God. It does not come by our efforts or the law. It comes by the promise of God, that which we already saw. God cannot lie. And that is a great thing, because it assures us of our salvation. And I understand there are Christians that they do not believe in eternal salvation, because they don't understand, or they don't understand the concept of a triune salvation, where God saves us completely from his perspective. Remember, God is outside of time. He's not limited by time, and so he sees the beginning and the end, and he can declare, we are in heaven in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Hold your place in Galatians, we're going to come back, but look over in Ephesians in chapter 2. Notice what it says. We probably should read the whole chapter, but you're probably familiar with it. I hope you are. If you're not, please read the whole chapter. Look down in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye, what?
Are
saved. It doesn't say you will be saved someday if you endure to the end, if you keep all the commandments. He says, by grace you are saved. That's without merit. And Paul later on tells us in Romans, or in the book of Romans, he says, if it's by grace, it's no more of works. And if it's of works, it's no more of grace. Grace and works are distinct. They're not intermingled. We are either saved by grace or we're saved by works. It's not a works and grace type of thing. It's all of grace or all of works. And the Bible teaches it's all of grace. And that's what he says, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He said he's made us to sit in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. Amen. From God's perspective, he sees us in Christ, who is already in heaven. Amen. Verse 8, for by grace you are what?
Saved.
You are saved. By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God, in saving us in Christ, was for the glory of Christ and the glory of his grace, the glory of his abundant mercy, the glory of his character, who is kind and loving. God is love. The demonstration of his love in giving that great sacrifice, his son, Jesus Christ. It is not about us.
Amen.
It's about him. And if you can get that into your head, you'll understand why salvation is eternal, and we can say we are saved.
Amen.
Because our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is in our hope, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is our hope. Then verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So it is a natural conclusion that if you're born again, if you become a child of God, you're going to act like a child of God. It's just a natural progression. The Spirit of God is in you, working in you. The works of God are in you. God himself is in you. And moving in us, and he's sanctifying us daily, and one day we're going to be liberated from the presence of sin completely.
Yes.
We're going to be liberated from the kingdom of this darkness, and we're going to be in eternal light.
Amen.
Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. Do you have a hope of an inheritance?
Amen.
I just wrote a definition down because I like playing with words. Just to make sure we understand. Heir, a person who inherits or has a right of inheritance in the property of another following the latter's death. Inheritance, something that is or may be inherited, property passing at the owner's death to the heir or those entitled to succeed, legacy. So there was, I'm going to go ahead and read this verse and I'll tell you a story. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We do have an inheritance. It's promised to the children of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, there is no inheritance for you. But if you are a child of God, you became an heir. An heir in Christ. And that promise is incorruptible, as he says. What does he say here in our text? He says, undefiled, or incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. What kind of inheritance are you hoping for? Here's my story. A southern gentleman, his uncle told him, his uncle Bob told him, that when he died, he has been named in the will that he was going to inherit this great, beautiful mansion plantation type down in South Alabama, where all the just huge acreage and property and this beautiful mansion. And the his nephew was all excited. I don't remember his nephew's name, but he was all excited about he's going to be able to be the owner of this great mansion. And so he was sort of waiting with anticipation. I don't know why he would do that, but Uncle Bob to pass. So when Uncle Bob passed, he was going to be the heir. He was going to take rights to that property, to that great mansion. He was looking forward to that day. Well, he got news that Uncle Bob passed, and unfortunately died in a mansion fire.
Terrible.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. I tell that story because our inheritance cannot be burned up. Our inheritance cannot be dragged into the courts and fought over.
Amen.
I work in my secular job in the foreclosure department, and I deal with probate almost on a daily basis. You would not believe the amount of fighting that goes on over property. And we can't get anything done because nobody will agree on anything because everybody claims it's theirs. This is just a pause. This is like a parenthesis. If you don't have a will, get one today. Save everybody a headache. Yeah. A will or a trust, a living trust, get a hold of a financial advisor. I'm not going to advise you on those things, but just find somebody that can help you settle things so that there's no fighting afterwards. Yeah. If you want your property to go to your dog, that's fine. Put it in a will. Yeah. So you're not fighting over it. You'll save everybody a lot of trouble. And also tell your relatives where your will is, where you're keeping it. Send them a copy. Yeah. Tell them where your records are so they can find it. People are spending years looking for documents and nothing can get done, and they actually lose their property because they have no proof of it. Well, that was the parenthesis. Now we're over. But our inheritance in heaven is not like that.
Amen.
God has promised it to it. He's already given us the will right here. It's in this book. We have a covenant from God. It's promised to us. Look in Hebrews in chapter 9. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of what? Eternal inheritance. It's never going to end. Did I tell you? Hebrews 9:15. I'm sorry. Eternal inheritance. It doesn't burn up, as I mentioned earlier. It doesn't dissipate. It doesn't dissolve. As Peter says, it doesn't fade away.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
My wife's gotten smarter in old age. She doesn't want me to buy her flowers. She wants me to buy her plants. She says flowers die away too fast. I thought, okay. I noticed that plants cost more than flowers, but anyway. She is a smart woman, and I try to be a smart man. I figured out a long time ago that it's not so much the flowers, because I thought this is a dumb investment because they fade away. By the way, plants fade away too, just in case you didn't know. But it's the thought that counts. They want to know that you're thinking about them, okay? Yeah. All right, that was extra. Peter said... Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1:14 as well, talking about heirs. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? We are heirs of salvation. We are saved now, but in one sense, our salvation from this body, this deliverance from this body is yet to come, and that is the hope. And over there in Ephesians chapter 6, he tells us put on the armor of God. And guess what are the things we're supposed to put on? A helmet of salvation, right? Why are we putting on this helmet of salvation? It's the hope of salvation. One day we're going to be delivered from this body of sin, completely delivered. And that which is already in the mind of God will be revealed to us in practicality. We will be in the presence of God, delivered from this sin and corruption and darkness. Oh, what a good day.
Yeah.
And I think Peter is building up here. He's trying to give us these promises because in the next passages, he's going to talk about the trial of our faith. And if you don't have that hope that one day we're going to be delivered from these trials, it becomes a burden.
Yes.
But it's amazing how you can walk through the deepest trial if you've read the last chapter. I know how it's going to end. It's not going to last. Just a few more tears, just a few more years, and then I'm going to be in heaven with him.
Amen.
Look in Matthew in chapter 6. Peter said, this inheritance of ours is incorruptible. Matthew 6 and 19, Jesus said, lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Boy, if you can get it into your minds that we have this hope of salvation, that one day we are going to be in the presence of God, wow, it will change our attitude to the things in this world. I think the things that clutter our garages might settle down a little bit. Maybe not, but it should. We're too focused on the things of this life. Isn't it amazing that everybody has to carry around keys? Every one of us have keys here to this morning, don't we? Every one of us. We got a key to lock the car. We got a key to lock the garage. We got a key to lock the front door. We got a key to lock the back door. We may even have a key to lock the bathroom. We have keys to lock everything. Isn't it amazing? We got keys to lock our drawers on our desk. We got keys. Why? Because we're afraid somebody's going to steal. I work in a building that has armed guards walking around the building. It has security doors that nobody can get in without a pass. And they tell me I got to lock my drawer because somebody might steal something. Right. Thank God there's no thieves in heaven. Amen. The strong man is there. Nobody's going to get his property. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. Miss Edgen, I might call you up here to testify what it's like to get old. Because one day, you're not going to be fighting to get in and out of a car. You're not going to be fighting with your little Batmobile there. One day, you're going to be doing a tap dance on the streets of gold. Tapping dance right through the pearly gates to be with the Lord. Look what he says here in 1 Corinthians 15. Now that this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
Amen.
Did you hear that? We're going to be changed.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to put on a new garment one day.
Yeah.
In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump.
Amen.
For the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible.
Yeah.
And we shall be changed.
Amen. Let's go.
Come up hither.
Amen. Woo. Come on.
Are you ready? Where was I? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is the hope that you and I have as Christians.
Amen.
And we can go through the afflictions and the trial of our faith because we have this promise of God, this hope of salvation, that one day we're going to be changed into incorruption.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a day.
Amen.
He says, undefiled, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father who had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. One day that is going to be practical in the sense that we're going to be there completely delivered from darkness. No more darkness. No more sin. No more temptation. No more disappointment. No more tears. No more sorrow. Eternal bliss with our Savior every day for eternity. Oh, what a day. Undefiled. It fadeth not away. James chapter 4, listen to this advice. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. If you don't have Christ, your life is just a moment of time. Your life is like that flower that just wilts. It's there one day, you're thinking, wow, that sure is beautiful. And then the next day, it's just gone. Your life is like that tool. You threw it in the toolbox, it was all shiny. When you came back, it was all rusted. And you can't even turn the knob to open the wrench. Yeah? You can't use the screwdriver because every time you put on the screw, it just breaks off. There's so much rust on it. That is what happens in this life. But that inheritance that the Father has promised us, oh happy day.
Amen.
Psalm 90 and verse 9. Even this teaching hour is flying by. It passeth away. Chapter 90 verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. I think that's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, I think that's 80. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. If we could get some of these elderly brothers and sisters to stand up here, they could say that their life was just a tale. It was just yesterday I was in high school. It was just yesterday I came out of the Air Force. It was just yesterday I got married. It was just yesterday my first child was born. It was just yesterday that my second child was born. It was just yesterday that my wife passed away. It was just yesterday. Time is fleeting. Time is fleeting. You wake up one day and your wife is a grandma. It's amazing. I just noticed that some of you, it took a while to catch that, but. Then he says, it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Look in John chapter 14. Verse 2, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. You might want to look up that word mansion. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. And where is Christ? He's at the right hand of the Father. We're going to be in the presence of the Father. We're going to be in the presence of God. Where is he? He's in heaven.
Amen.
We're going to heaven. Look, notice what it says. Reserved in where? In heaven. When the JW knocks on your door, give him this verse. Reserved in heaven for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be.
Yeah.
And notice what it also says. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Yeah. Kept by the power of God.
Yeah.
How powerful is God?
Amen.
He said, let there be light.
Yeah.
And there was light.
Wow.
He said he stretched out the heavens.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, I wonder how that affects light and time. He stretched out the heavens. Wow. He stretched out the heavens. They say they're still stretching. Wow. They're still going. He spoke the world into existence.
Praise you, Lord.
Some of you stood on the South Padre Island. Did you look out of that vast gulf? You couldn't see the other side. You get over to the Pacific, it's even bigger. And the Atlantic, just amazing. The water just seems like to go forever. And the depths, unbelievable amount of water. The mountains, have you been to the Grand Canyon? Have you been to Niagara? Have you seen the great things of this world? Amazing things. Amazing things. The power of God. Do you remember when Jesus was walking on the water? That takes some power.
Yeah.
Do you remember the storms were, and these fishermen were scared, and Jesus just says the word, peace be still.
Wow. Praise you, Lord.
Do you remember the woman that was afflicted, and she had spent all her money on various doctors that couldn't help her, and she just winched up and touched the hem of his garment, wow, and she was healed.
Praise you, Lord.
Do you remember those parents in the funeral procession taking their child, and Jesus comes by and speaks the word, and the child's alive.
Yeah.
Do you remember Lazarus laying 4 days in the grave? Jesus comes up. Lazarus, come forth. The power of God. How are you kept?
Amen.
You're kept by the power of God.
Amen.
And now that's not eternal salvation. I don't know what is.
Right.
Romans chapter 1, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
Hebrews 9 and verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Listen, my friends, this redemption that Christ gave to us is not partial redemption.
Amen.
It's not limited by time.
Amen.
It is an eternal redemption. He did the work. He did the redeeming. It's his possession. He's the author and the finisher. He's the Alpha and the Omega. What he begins, he finishes.
Amen.
This is the hope that we have, that one day that place in heaven reserved for us, we're going to be in there.
Amen.
We're going to come knocking on the door. I have a reservation.
Yeah, amen.
Right this way. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You know what your problem is if you don't believe in eternal salvation? I'm going to tell you what your problem is. You.
Yeah.
That word, you or I. Well, I have to endure. Well, I have to do better. Listen, salvation is not about you.
Right.
It's salvation is about Christ and what he's done.
Yes.
And God wants to glorify the Son. And God wants the Father to be glorified through the Son. And all the work is in Christ. It's grace.
Amen.
That he might be magnified. And what he begins, he finishes.
Amen.
Now, I know you don't finish. I know we give up. I know there's plenty of homes out here that were started and not finished. A lot of businesses started and failed. I understand that. But that's not the testimony of God.
Amen.
The testimony of God is what he starts, he finishes. Listen to what Jesus said in John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish.
Amen.
Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They're kept. They're kept. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What a salvation. Eternal. And when you have that confidence, when you have that hope, you can endure the afflictions that come to us in this life. Well, time has faded away. It has flown. So we'll have to continue this. I would like to, next week, I'm going to touch on that three-part salvation, just give you some verses that show that, and then we'll continue in our message in Peter, the story that Peter has for us, the words of Peter in his letter. Let's thank the Lord. Father, we are thankful for that hope of salvation that we have. We're thankful that it's reserved in heaven for us. We're thankful for Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the grace that you've given us and your promises. Bless us now. Bless the preaching hour as well. In Jesus' name, amen.